Morning. Today's daf in Makos is Yud Aleph. We're in Yud Amud Beis, where I'm a Ravun, right in the middle of the Amud. Let's pick up right where we left off yesterday. Here's what we know for sure. You're a Rotzech B'Shogeg, so you're going to go to the Eir Miklat. And once you're in the Eir Miklat, so you're provided sanctuary. You're going to be protected from the Gol Hadam. We already discussed yesterday. We say protected, meaning Gol Hadam could make his way in there and could kill you, but if he does so, so he's going to be chai of Ritzicha. In other words, he has no permission to kill you over there. And once you step outside of the Eir Miklat, although you'll see a little bit later on this morning, I'm exaggerating just a little bit. In other words, it's not a foot outside the city. But in other words, once you leave the city, though, you're no longer provided the klita, and therefore, if you're put to death, so the Gol Hadam has the right to put you to death. That part's clear. Here's the part, however, that's less clear, and this is what the Gemara is going to be about to discuss. Immediately after Ritzich, after Ritzich B'Shogeg, so then you're going to be running to the Eir Miklat. So now we're at ground zero, basically. So it was a real Rachmanis. The person killed somebody carelessly, and now he's running to the Eir Miklat. So at this early juncture, does the Gol Hadam have the right to kill the Ritzich? Now, as pointed out wonderfully yesterday, he wasn't tried. He wasn't even taken to court yet. Meaning, it's a really, really early stage of the procedure, and that's what the Gemara is discussing. And this is where we are in the Gemara right now. Amar Rav Huna, Ratzech Shigal Eir Miklat Umatzo Gol Adam. So the Ratzech is now running to the Eir Miklat, and the Gol Adam finds him Vahargo, and he kills him Potter. So he's going to be exempt. Now, exemption over here meaning that it's not an act of Ritzicha, it is a licensed act of murder, but at the same time, Patr also gives you the impression that you shouldn't have done it. Meaning you should have waited, should have allowed the more process to occur, but okay, but at this juncture, it would be acceptable. Kasav v'loi mishma mavet begol adam. And now, it's really a question of how to read the Pesukim. The pasuk says, "V'lo in mishpat mavet." He's not to be put to death. The Torah is describing somebody. Now, really, it could be describing one of two people. Could be describing first the rotzeach, meaning there's a rotzeach b'shogeg. He killed inadvertently. He was careless. So, "lo in mishpat mavet." So, for him, there's no death penalty. Or, on the other hand, it could also be describing the Gol Hadam. If the Gol Hadam was to kill the rotzeach, "lo in mishpat mavet," he's not to be put to death, even at this early stage when he's running and fleeing away to the Eir Miklat. So. So clearly when Rav Huna reads the Pasuk, Rav Huna knows what he's convinced that he knows what the Pasuk's talking about. It's talking about the Gol Hadam. Even at this early stage, if the Gol Hadam were to kill the Rotzeach, lo mishpat mavet. The Gol Hadam is not going to be subject to the death penalty. Meitzvei, the Gemara challenges with the Braisa, lo mishpat mavet b'Rotzeach because of Medaber. The Braisa says clearly that it's talking about the Rotzeach. Ata omer b'Rotzeach, oina ola b'Gol Hadam, kishu omer v'hu lo sonei lo mit moshol sham. So the Braisa says, I know contextually it's talking about the Rotzeach. Look at the earlier part of the Pasuk, where it says, and he didn't hate him from the previous day. He, meaning the Rotzeach, did not hate the victim on a previous occasion. Clearly, the earlier part of the Pasuk is talking about the Rotzeach. The latter part of the Pasuk is also talking about the Rotzeach. And therefore, the Braisa clearly says it's talking about the Rotzeach. So what's Rav Huna going to do? Rav Huna's an Amora. And the Braisa is clearly telling us that the Pasuk is dealing with the Rotzeach, not the Gol Hadam. So the Gemara says, Udamar ki aitana. So the Gemara says, okay, but Rav Huna also has a Braisa. Detanya v'loi mishpat mavet, b'Gol Hadam akasav medaber. So this Braisa says it's talking about the Gol Hadam. Ata omer b'Gol Hadam akasav medaber, ueno ela b'Rotzeach kishu omer, ki lo so nehula mimosho shomav Rotzeach amur. So here he looks at the same pasuk, looks at the same context, and arrives at a different conclusion. By virtue of the fact where it says, he didn't hate him yesterday, so that's talking about the Rotzeach. So in other words, the Rotzeach has already been discussed in the pasuk. So who's now left to discuss? Oh, the Gol Hadam. So it's so interesting. Same exact point, but arriving at a different conclusion. Okay, so Rav Huna now is proposing that if the Gol Hadam were to kill the Rotzeach while the Rotzeach is running to the Eir Miklat, Pater. He doesn't have Chet Mavet. Tanan, we have a Mishnah. Most lo shnei tamid chachamim shema yargen baderech v'idaber elav. So you have now two tamid chachamim accompanying the Rotzeach over to the Eir Miklat, and to which the Gemara says, I don't understand. What are the two tamid chachamim there to do? presumably they're gonna talk to the Goel Hadam, and they're gonna tell the Goel Hadam, don't do it. And if you do it, you're gonna be subject to the death penalty. Meaning it's too early in the process. My love de Mashrabe, di kalta bar kutalahu. So this is what the Gemara is suggesting. That the Talmid Chachamim are saying to the Goel Hadam, if you kill him, you're subject to the death penalty. Lo, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Ki detanya vedabru alav dvarim haru'uyim lo. Omrim lo, al tenag bo minag shovche damim, bishkaga ba maisa liyadom. So the Gemara says, no, it could very well be that the Goel Hadam, at this early stage, has the right to kill the Rotzeach, and all the Talmid Chachamim are saying to the Goel Hadam is, don't do it. Meaning, it's murder. It's murder. And look, he didn't kill your family member intentionally. He did it unintentionally. Don't be like a murderer. In other words, I understand you have permission to do so, but we're recommending not to do it.
What if the Rotzeach turned around and killed the Goel Hadam in self-defense?
You're right. That's coming up. You're right. That's ahead of us. Rabbi Meir Omer, who medaber ayide atzmo shenemar v'zed dvar harotzeach. So Rabbi Meir in the Mishnah said that the Rotzeach himself is going to be speaking to the Goel Hadam, not the Talmid Chachamim. Now I said that very confidently, not the Talmid Chachamim. You remember back in the Mishnah we learned yesterday, it said af hu medaber al yedei atzmo, and that word af, debatable as to whether or not that fits into the gears of the Mishnah or doesn't. If it fits into the gears of the Mishnah, meaning even he's going to speak on his behalf, if you take out the word af, it means it's only he's going to speak on his behalf, not the Talmid Chachamim. Anyway, in this Bryce we're learning together, we get one extra line of dialogue between the two. Amru lo harbe shlichus oseh. So the Chachamim say to Reb Meir, much better to have advocacy rather than advocate on your behalf. Somebody else advocates on behalf of you, it's better. It works out better. So we really think the Talmid Chachamim should talk to the Goel Hadam, not the Rotzeach himself. Okay. Amar Mar, Bishkaga, ba maisa liyado, pshita. Sadiba meze bar galazu. So the Gemara says, now, what did we just gave a narrative of what the Talmid Chachamim would be saying to the Goel Hadam, and in one version, which seemingly is the accepted one, the Talmid Chachamim were saying to the Goel Hadam, no, don't kill him. He did so only b'shogeg, as if to say that there's a chance that even if he killed b'mezid, he'd be running to the Ir Miklat, and that's what the Gemara's question is. Deem b'mezid bar galosu in. And the Gemara says, no, that's actually true. In other words, anyone who kills his first destination is going to be the Ir Miklat. That Tanya, the Gemara says, we learned on the Brisa, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, b'tchila echashog v'echad mezid makdim l'ari miklat. So what happens is that after any murder, whether intentional or unintentional, your first destination is the Ir Miklat. And then, ubeis kinshochanu mevino osa misham, mishin eschayv mitzah, hargu shenemar v'shachu ziknei iro, v'lachu osa misham, nasnu osa biyad Goel Hadam, umeis. So the person who is going to be found guilty is going to be put to death. And mishin eschayv patru. And if you are found innocent in court, so then you go free. Shenemar v'tzilu osa eida, eserotzech, miyad Goel Hadam. Mishin is chayv galus machzion osolem kamo, and the third possibility is that you're chayv galus, meaning that the Beis Din ruled that it was considered a misa b'shogeg, following the parameters as we discussed in our perek, and therefore you're going to turn around and just go back to the Ir Miklat. Shenemar veheshivu oso aidal Ir Miklato asher nas shama. Veheshivu means he's returning to the Ir Miklat, meaning he was once there, he came out for his day in court, then the court deemed that he was a rotzeach b'shogeg, he goes back. I mean, he wants to know why specifically the Goel Hadam has to execute. Why not have it just simply based and do it in the regular procedure? And I'm sure they have executioners. Okay, so I guess it's to somehow satisfy their interest in vengeance. Okay, I suppose. Rabbi Omer me'atzman hein golen. So Rabbi's of the opinion that they did so on their own. Kisrun hein echeshog ve'echen mezid koltos. Ve'hein einan yodin shebeshog koltos ve'mezid en koltos. Rebbe says it's not procedural, but it's more reactionary. Meaning, everyone thought to themselves, oh, I killed? Okay, fine, I'll just go to the Ir Miklat. Meaning, and it wasn't that popularly known that the Ir Miklat only works for the shogeg, not for the mezid. The Shitas Rebbe. Amar v'lazir ishe ruba rotzchim in a koltos. an interesting halacha regarding the Ir Miklat, and that is, if let's say now you get to the population of the Ir Miklat where, now over 50% of the inhabitants of the Ir Miklat are killers. Again, I say killers, by the way, I mean obviously Rotsech B'Shogeg, but in other words, now it was a nice city, but you know, there goes a neighborhood. Right? So now over 50% now, you know, are Rotschim. So at that point in time, the Ir Miklat loses its efficacy as being an Ir Miklat. Shenemer v'daber ba'aznei ziknei ha'ir ha'iyas t'varav v'lo shuhushvu divrehem lidvarav. Meaning there has to be a preponderance, a majority of people who are speaking to the Rotzeach. So in other words, there has to be more non-killers than killers.
So does that mean that if the status is suspended and the Goladam can go into the city and kill the Rotzeach?
Yeah, in other words, right. In other words, once it's no longer collate, so that's right. So now open season. Okay, so sorry, I said that a little too bluntly, but okay. Okay, I'm a Rebbe Lazer. Ir she'ein bo zikenim eino koltos to be in ziknei ha'ir v'leka. Okay, other halachas regarding the Ir Miklat, Rebbe Lazer says that if the city does not have elders, so that's not good because the Torah describes ziknei ha'ir. And if there isn't, so then that is a not just a detail in the Ir Miklat, but a requirement of the Ir Miklat. Itmar ir she'ein bo zikenim Rebbe Omer, Rebbe Amiv Ravasi, chadam ar koltos v'chadam ar in koltos. The Gemara has Amoraim debating this issue as to whether or not a zakein is a necessary requirement for an ir miklat to work. Lamandar mina koltos being a ziknei v'leka. Now, as far as the argument that without a zakein, the city does not serve as an ir miklat, so the Gemara says, good. We've already established that because it's found in the Torah. Lamandar koltos mitzvah ma'ama. And as far as the one who says that it works even without the zakein, the Torah is just telling you what's best to have an ir miklat. But this is not a requirement. It's not a prerequisite in order for the Ir Miklat to work.
What age qualifies for
a I mean...
Is it Torah Zakeh means
the Sanhedrin, no? It could be a member of Sanhedrin, it could be just talking about an elder. Unclear. I'm not sure. V'ir she'im ba'zakeinim. And a city that does... V'ir she'im ba'zakeinim. Now, if the city does not have zakeinim, Rabbi Amir Ravasi, Chanamar Nasabah ben Sora Mora, V'chanamar Ein Nasabah ben Sora Umora. It's the same achlokas, but now we're just going to apply it to a different halacha, and that is whether or not we could discover a young man to be a ben sora mora. So laman dar minasa ben sora mora being a ziknei iro v'leka. Remember, the Torah describes in the short parsha of ben sora mora that you're going to bring him to the zikanim. So again, it's that question of, well, if you don't happen to have zikanim in town, is that just something? Is that procedural? But we could still do the procedure without it, or is that a requirement? A basic requirement in order to go forward with the Ben Sora Mora. Now, Laman Da'amar Nasa Ben Sora Mora, Mitzvah Ba'alma. And again, in the other position, we'll just simply tell you, look, it's better to have it this way, but it's not going to upend the entire procedure in the absence of Zakenim. And finally, the third halacha, v'yir she'im ba'zikenim, Rabbi Amiv Ravasi, chanamar mivia egla arufa, v'chanamar eina mivia egla arufa. Same story with the egla arufa. You found a murdered victim somewhere between two cities. You've determined which city is more proximate, and the elders of that city are going to go out. What if there are no elders to that city? So once again, same achlokas as to whether or not we're going to go forward with the egla arufa process. So one opinion is that the zakenim described in the Torah is a requirement. And the other who says that we're still going to bring the Egla Rufa is because the zakenim is certainly a detail, certainly something that we would have preferred, but if we don't have it, we're still going to go on. I'm Rabbi Chanina, Rabbi Chanim, Mimneima Namra, Parshas Roschim, Belashon Azav. How come it is that when the parsha of Rotzeach is told over, it's told over b'lashon azav? First of all, which parsha are we talking about? There are the parsha of Ritzicha b'shogeg is mentioned numerous times in the Torah, but here, interestingly, the Gemara is not making reference to the Torah; it's making reference to the Nevi'im. Okay, in Sefer Yehoshua, somewhere towards the end of Sefer Yehoshua, so Perichav. 24 prakim in total, say for Yeshua. So in Perichav, it describes Yeshua now setting up the Ari Miklat. Now, it's interesting. Moshe did so knowing that the job was not going to be finished. That's what we learned in yesterday's daf. Yoshua, as we'll see in just a moment, may have not taken necessarily as quick a step in setting up the Ir Miklat. So, Vayidaber Hashem al Yoshua le'mor, Daber al b'nei Yisrael le'mor, Tenu lechem es ari ha'miklat asher dibarti aleichem. So you see, in the Pasuk, it keeps saying, Dibur, 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 speak softly to somebody, say the word Amor, Amor. If you speak harshly to someone, so it's Dibur. So Dibur is a stronger language. So how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to say, like, not just told Yoshua to set it up, but with strength and almost like a little bit of frustration. Again, Kaviyachol, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu we're talking about. Mimnei She'ein Shel Torah. So the Gemara gives one argument, and that is because it's a mitzvah min Torah. Meaning, it's not just some idea, but he's following a mitzvah in the Torah, and it's an absolute, and so that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke in strong terms. So the Gemara says, in. So you see the word deeper, does that mean strong, powerful, forceful? The Gemara says, sure. You find in Chumash, in Bereishis, when this man was speaking very harshly to us. They were describing Yosef. They didn't know it was Yosef. They thought it was a viceroy. He spoke very harshly to us. You see, the word deeper means strong. So you find other places in Tanakh where the verb is conjugated slightly different. Nidberu, yadber. So then it's gentle. It's more gentle. So Amar. So the Gemara answers very simply. Daber lechud, yadber lechud. So, and I'm sure if you understood the grammar and the conjugation better, you'd understand this answer better. I'm, of course, speaking about myself. But the point is that the word daber conjugated in the simple, in the way that's usually presented, so that is strong. But yadber and aznidberu, so that softens the language a little bit. Pligi ba, the Gemara presents simanim. Pligi ba, Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan charamah mimnei sheshiem v'charamah mimnei shehin shel Torah. The Gemara now presents two opinions in terms of why it is that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Yoshua about setting up the Ari Miklat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was so forceful. One, for the reason that we already offered, and that is because it's Min HaTorah. And the other one, Shishiham. That Yoshua, when setting up the Ari Miklat, did not do so immediately. Rashi writes, Shelo Hifrisham La'achar Shechalku Miyad, Asha Nemar Lo Mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He needed a reminder from Hashem, meaning he already divided the land. And now, what's next? So he's kind of like delaying. And the Kosh Baruch Hu says, what's next? Ir Miklat, meaning let's go. And so another suggestion in terms of why it is that the Kosh Baruch Hu spoke so harshly to Yoshua. Vayichtov Yoshua says, Dvarim Ha'ila B'Sefer Torah Elokim. So Yoshua now writes down, B'Sefer Torah Elokim. Pligi Barav Yudav Rav Nechem, Yechad Amar Shmona Pesukim, Yechad Amar Ari Miklat. So what is Yoshua writing down that it's Sefer Torah? Meaning Sefer Torah is written by Moshe Rabbeinu. So what is being described over here? So the Gemara gives two opinions. One opinion is the last eight psukim. Okay, not that long ago, in the beginning of Baba Basra. Okay, it was a long time ago, but the beginning of Baba Basra. So we talked about authorship, and the Gemara over there says that Moshe Rabbeinu authored the entire Torah, maybe with exception to the last eight psukim of the Torah. Last eight psukim of the Torah describing Moshe Rabbeinu's death. Moshe wrote it. So the Gemara had a machlokus. One opinion is that he wrote it, and the other opinion is that he did not write it, but rather Yeshua wrote it. And back in the day, I shared with you a gra that takes some sort of middle position, but not for now. So so that could be one possibility, and the other possibility is that it's a reference to Ari Miklat, the meaning that when Yeshua was writing down his sefer, so in his sefer he's writing about Ari Miklat, which is mentioned back in the Torah. Now, the position that says that Yoshua authored the last eight psukim of the Torah fits in better with the language because it says "Basefer Torah Selokim." That's usually a reference to Torah. How Elamanda Ari Miklat Hai Basefer Torah Selokim. So, but if you're saying that's Ir Miklat that Yoshua wrote down was in his sefer, not in Moshe's sefer. So, Hachi Kamar Veichtov Yoshua B'Sifro as Adverim Ha'Elaksuvim B'Sefer Torah Selokim. So the Gemara says, okay, so we'll just simply explain the pasuk slightly differently, and that is that what Yoshua wrote in his sefer was already founded in that which was found in Torah Moshe. Okay. Sefer Shetafra Bepishtan, if I have a Sefer Torah that is sewn together using linen. Okay, so that is not the best. The best is to use Gidin, is to use sinew. So, Pligi bar Rav Yehuda, Rav Meir, Chanan bar Kasha, v'Chanan bar Apostle. So the Gemara quotes the Machlokes HaTanayim as to whether or not it's Kasher Apostle, meaning certainly it's not a Lechatchila, but would it be a Bidyevit? Laman Dar Apostle Dichziv Laman Tiyat Torah Hashem Beficha. Vikish Kol HaTorah Kol HaTfilin. Ma Tfilin Halach LaMoshe Mesina LaTorah from Beginning. Av Kol the Torah from Beginning. So, the one who says that's Apostle learns it from Tfilin. By Tfilin, it is a Dover Pashut. That when making tefillin, the way that we stitch together the hide is through giddin, is through animal sinew. And if that's true by tefillin, so there's a hekesh between tefillin and kol ha-Torah kula, which means that when you're writing the physical Torah down on klav, it has to be stitched together with giddin, just like tefillin have to be stitched together with giddin. V'idich ki itkish le-mutar b'ficha le-chosav lo itkish. So the, and the other opinion, I mean the one who says that, stitching a Sefer Torah together with linen as opposed to sinew is, in fact, acceptable. It's okay. What about tefillin? No. The only thing that we could extract from tefillin is this halacha that I have to write it on the hide of an animal that is kosher. If I write it on the hide of an animal that's not kosher, that's going to be apostle tefillin. That'll be apostle Sefer Torah. As far as the other halachas are concerned, that does not necessarily draw from the halachas of tefillin. Amar Rav Chazin lehu tefillin de Bei Chavivi. Rav over here testifies that he saw the tefillin of his uncle. De tefiri bikitna that was sewn together with linen. V'leithu chasakavaseh, but the Gemara then immediately says that that's not the halacha. Now, the way I read the Gemara is the way that we have the girsa in our Gemara, and that the Gemara describes Rabbi Chiya's tefillin as being stitched together, sewn together with linen. It's a really difficult position to maintain, considering that the Gemara just a moment ago says that by tefillin, it's a non-starter. Everyone agrees that tefillin have to be stitched together with sinew, not with linen. And now the Gemara over here is giving some report about, not some, a report about that Rav is giving about his uncle's tefillin, that it was stitched together with linen. It's really hard to entertain. Rishonim have different...
We thought that actually proves the doctrine. This is a different concept. Show that it was
in use, right. But it really comes down to what is the girsa of the Gemara. So so some have the girsa of the Gemara, not tefillin, but rather Torah. In fact, the Ritva is quoted. So the Ritva says that the girsa that we have in the Gemara is not the correct girsa because tefillin is a non-starter. Tefillin have to be stitched together with sinew, with giddim. Anyway, we continue now in the Mishnah. Okay, this is one of the most popular halachas of the Torah. I'm gauging it based on just, you know, my experiences. But, and it's funny because, you know, obviously it's not Lamaisa, but everybody knows this, and everybody knows the visualization is so powerful that when a person is Rotsech B'Shogeg, he goes to Eir Miklat, and his release date is going to be when the Kohen Gadol dies. Okay, we all know that. And therefore, what did Mom do? So, right, we all know this as well. So Mom comes over to the Eir Miklat. She brings cookies and other delicious food and clothing, as we're going to see in our Mishnah. And she goes over to the Rotschim and she hands it out and she says, please do me a favor. You know, pray for my son. Or don't pray that he die. And by the way, both statements which I just stated are actually going to be two different opinions in the Gemara. You'll see what I mean when we get to the Gemara inside. Anyway, okay, a famous Mishnah. Let's see it inside. So how many Kohen Gadols could there possibly be? Now, if you said one, you'd be right, but the truth of the matter is that there are three possible Kohen Gadols. I know that's a lot. In other words, there's only one Kohen Gadol. But there's a possibility of there being three. Okay, so let's just do a little bit of history together. And from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu until Melech Yoshiyahu, one of the last kings of Yehuda during Bais Rishon. So during that period of time, to be a Kohen Gadol, so you were invested with the Shemen HaMishcha, a special oil that was prepared with Simanim that was used to anoint. So when the Kohen Gadol was tapped to become the Kohen Gadol, so then he would be anointed with the Shemen HaMishcha. Melech Yoshiyahu took a number of things to put in Geniza, knowing that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be destroyed. And one of the things that he put in Geniza is the Shemen HaMishcha. After Melech Yoshiyahu, there still was a little bit of Bais Rishon left, historically, And of course, there's an entire Baisheni. When a Kohen Gadol gets tapped from that point going forward, how is it represented that he's a Kohen Gadol? So the Begadim, in other words, he wore instead of the regular four Begadim that's worn by a regular Kohen, he would wear the Shemona Begadim that a Kohen Gadol would wear. So, and that is what the Mishnah describes as Meruba Begadim. So there really are now two different Kohen Gadols, one who is anointed with the Shemona Mishkan, the other one's Meruba Begadim. Now, understood, the way I just described it, that historically they're living in two different times. So they're not living concurrently. But there's a third option of a Kohen Gadol, and that is the Echad She'avar Mimishichaso. A Kohen Gadol who served as a substitute Kohen Gadol, meaning Kohen Gadol was Pasul. Let's say he becomes Tameh, simple example, and now he becomes Pasul. So who's going to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash? So they have a deputy Kohen Gadol, and what's going to happen is that this Sagan, in the event that the Kohen Gadol no longer is, or even temporarily, is out of commission, so he's going to step in and he's going to become the Kohen Gadol. When the original Kohen Gadol now recovers, he's Matari himself, so then he's going to go back to his position being Kohen Gadol, but the stand-in, however, still is going to have the Kohen Gadol status. And we're learning together now in the Mishnah that if he dies, even though he's currently not the Kohen Gadol, he only filled in for a little bit of time, nevertheless, his death is going to be resulting in the release of the Rotzchim. Machzion is the Rotzeach. So far now we have three Kohen Gadols that would allow for the release of the Rotzeach, the Meshuch B'Shemen, the Merubah B'Gadim, and Avar Mimshichaso. Rav Yehuda Omer Af Meshuch Mechama, Machzir Es HaRotzeach. And Rav Yehuda says, even the Meshuch Mechama, Torah describes that when we're going out to war, so we're going to have a special appointed Kohen. He is the head rabbi of the army. A chaplain, but like chief chaplain. Okay, so he's there's a better word for it, but anyway, so he gets up there in front of everyone and he encourages everybody. There's nothing to be afraid of. We're going to go out to battle. Akash Baruch Hu is going to be with us. And this is the Kohen Meshuch Mechama. So he is anointed, but not to be the Kohen Gadol, but to be the head of the army. And if according to Rabbi Yehuda, if he dies, that also would allow for the release of the Rotzeach. Lefichach. And here the Mishnah says, therefore, Imosem Shekohanim Misapkos Lehem Michye V'Ksuz Kedei Shalei Yispalo Al B'Neim Shemusu. And so the Mishnah over here paints such a powerful picture. The mothers of the Kohanim going over to the Ir Miklat, handing out food and clothing, and begging them, please do not daven that my sons die. Menahan Emili, we start with the Gemara Amar of Kana Amar Krav Yeshev Ba Ad Mosa Kohen Agadol V'Ksiv Ki Be'ir Miklato Yeshev Ad Mos Kohen Agadol U'Ksiv Achrei Mos Kohen Agadol. In the Psukim of Ritzicha B'Shogeg, the Torah uses the word Kohen Agadol not once but three times. A reference to the three different Kohen Gadols as we described in our Mishnah. Rav Yehuda Ksiv Karachrin, Lashuv Lasheves, Ba'eretz Ad Mosa Kohen. And Rav Yehuda says, if you actually read the Pesukim, you're going to find one more reference of the word Kohen. V'idach Midlo Ksiv Agadol Chad Mehanachu. Yeah, and the counter argument to that is, yeah, but it doesn't say Kohen Gadol. Meaning the other three times it says Kohen Gadol. So that allows us to interpret it to be three different Kohen Gadols. The fact that it says Kohen a fourth time, it's referring to one of the previously mentioned Kohanim. Gemara just basically wonders. You mean to tell me that if the Rotzeach B'Shogeg is davening for the death of the Kohen Gadol, their tefillah is going to be effective? And before the Gemara gives an answer, Vaksiv, and the Gemara says, and I don't get it, quotes the pasuk from Mishlei, Kitzipor lanud kejor la'uf ken kilas chinam lo savo. A flying bird, right? It's the same thing as a guy cursing, and there's no reason for his curse. Meaning, it's floating in the air. There's nothing to it. So you have a guy who is understandably miserable in the Ir Miklat, davening for the death of the Kohen Gadol. What the Kohen Gadol have anything to do with it? And you're telling me that if he davens that the guy's going to die, the guy's going to die? Gemara says, I don't get it. So I was up at Mipirka Derava Shmieli Shehaya Lahen Lavakesh. Rachamim al daram v'lo bikshu. So the Gemara gives the answer told over by an elder who was sitting in the shir of Rava, and he said that yeah, Kohen Gadol deserved it because what the Kohen Gadol's part of his responsibility is to daven on behalf of the Jewish people. that these kinds of things don't happen, and because he is the spiritual leader of the Jewish people, so therefore he does have an ownership and responsibility, and by virtue of the fact that it happened, mean that he didn't daven hard enough, he didn't have enough kavana, however you want to say it. In other words, he has a responsibility.
Ari Mikvah is a chesed the Torah is offering, so why is it considered like a prison here? It's protecting him.
Yeah. Two people could look at the same thing and arrive at two different conclusions. You're an optimist. I can't help you. You look at things being good. Okay. Iga Damasne. Some people learn it a little bit differently. Kideshi is Palo Abaneim Shelo Yamusu. This one is even more powerful. When the mothers are coming into the Ir Miklat and telling the Rotschim, here's what I need you guys to do. I need you to daven that my sons continue living. Not, in other words, in the previous version, she was begging not to daven that they die. Here, she's pleading with them, you need to daven that my sons live. Time of the matzah ala matzah maisei. So my havel mavid. So the Gemara says, now here in this more powerful version, the question's even stronger. The answer is going to be the same. But the question's even stronger. Like, what did you expect the Kohen Gadol to do? And now, all the Rotzeach has to do is not daven that the Kohen Gadol live, and now the Kohen Gadol is going to die? And the Gemara phrases the question with two quips. Hacha Amrin, and here in Bavel, the way we say it is Tuv Yechat of a Zinug Mangin. An expression you're going to find a couple times throughout Shas is that this idea of Tuv Yeh did something wrong. It did something inappropriate. Right, wrong. And Zigud now goes to court to tell, but Zigud's only going to court by himself. And he doesn't have a second witness with him. So, you know, there's a fine line between testifying and being a Malshin. And that fine line, of course, is being one witness versus being two witnesses. So here you have now this one guy going to court saying, do you know what that guy did? And now the court looks at him and says, well, you're only one witness. And in other words, if you had another witness with you, fine, but you're just one guy. So you know what? You're a Malshin. So they start giving him Malkus. And he says, wait a second, I'm not the guy who did something wrong. He did something wrong and now I'm going to get hit? Now, Hasam Amri, now in Eretz Yisrael, they have a similar expression, Shechem Nasavu Magbe Gazir, and here, the expression is based on the episode in Parshas Vayishlach, where Levi and Shimon say to the city of Shechem, oh, it's very simple. You want to marry our sister? So all of you are going to get a bris milah. And Shechem turns around to the city and says, what a great idea. So everyone here is going to get a bris milah. And they say to him, wait a second. You're getting married and we're going to get the bris milah? Okay, great. I also like the Eretz Yisrael version. So anyway, but the idea is simple. What is the Kohen Gadol doing now that he's going to die because the Rotzech killed B'shogeg? And it's only because the Rotzech B'shogeg is going to daven that they continue to live, and that will only and that and only that will provide him a longer life. So, but the answer is the same. Amar Usaba Mipirka Durava Shmi Alisha Hayala and Levakish Rachamal Duram Velo Bikshu. Same answer. The Kohen Gadol is responsible. If this is happening during the tenure of the Kohen Gadol, that means that the Kohen Gadol did not daven enough. Kihado Gavada Achle Ari Barachuk Talte Parse Mine Durav Yeshua Ben Levi Velo Shaya Leya Baade Talsiume. Gemara tells a story where there was a tragic episode where someone was killed by a lion. Within a vicinity of Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, who was normally visited by Eliyahu HaNavi, and Eliyahu HaNavi did not visit him for three consecutive days because this happened in the vicinity of Rav Yeshua ben Levi. And what was Rav Yeshua ben Levi supposed to do? It had nothing to do with him. And again, it's the same idea. That's not true. Rav Yeshua ben Levi was the Gadol Hador, and if something tragic happened, so he has to share some of that responsibility. I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Rav Kilas Chacham, afilu bechinam, hi ba'a. Get cursed by a Chacham. Even if it is unfounded, the curse is still going to come. Minala me'achitofa, the Gemara says, we learn this from Achitofa, Shabbashar, Shakar, David, Shisin Kapatama, Ba'alim, Mishvatela, Amma. David HaMelech is building the foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. He knows he's not building the Beis HaMikdash, but he wants at least to start it, so he's building now the foundation. And what happens is he pulls the plug. While digging the foundation, there was a plug over there. Look at Rashi. I'm not going to go through the Rashi right now, but it's really powerful. Look at Rashi. Rashi quotes the Yerushalmi regarding a dialogue between him and the plug. I know that sounds weird. You see the Rashi later, you'll understand. So anyway, so he pulls the plug in, and now the water, the subterranean water now starts making its way up, looking to flood the world. Now I know this is a little, it's a little bit difficult because Kadosh Baruch Hu made a promise that this wasn't going to happen. But, okay, and the Gemara does not address that. Amar maulich tov shema chaspa misha betahama deleko aduchte. So now David HaMelech has a shayla. Can I write the name of Kadosh Baruch Hu on a parchment, put it into the water so that the water will abate? Now, beinenu, between us, I don't quite frankly understand the shayla. We're talking about pekuach nefesh. I mean, if the whole world is going to be flooded, so we're looking at the humanity is in the balance of this question. So admittedly, it's a little bit hard to understand how it's a kasha, how it's a shayla, but anyway, he asked a shayla. Legadamalei imidi. But he didn't want to answer the shayla, and because Achitofel was there, and as we already discussed just a few short weeks ago, Achitofel was the Rebbe of David HaMelech. And he didn't want to pass an halacha when Achitofel's there. Amar kol yodeh David zeveinu, amar yichaneg begrono. And now David HaMelech is upset because he's asking the question, he's expecting Achitofel to answer. Achitofel's not answering, and David HaMelech says, anyone who does not answer me, and really he's talking about Achitofel, anyone who doesn't answer me should be choked. So nasa Achitofel kavachomer ba'atma amar amal asor shalom en ish li'isho amar Torah. To create peace between husband and wife, Akash Baruch Hu allows for the erase of his name, i.e. Parsha Sota, so too over here, Akash Baruch Hu will for sure allow the erasing of his name if we're talking about the saving of the entire world. So Amalei Shari. So after Achitofel goes through the Kavachom in his own head, he then tells David HaMelech it's Mutter. Kastor Shem Achaz B'Shadeh Atahoma Nachas V'Kama Duchtei. And David does this, does exactly this, writes Hashem's name on the paper, throws it into the water, and the water abates. And afilu hachi, ksiv achitofa rakilona satsaso veyachboshos achomor veykim veyelecha beiso, eli rov veyitzav veyiso veyichanek. And meanwhile, what's Achitofel's fate? He chokes himself, he strangles himself. After throwing the support behind Avshalom, realizing then that the rebellion's not going to work, he gave advice to Avshalom to make peace with David HaMelech. He saw that wasn't going to be listened to, etc., etc. And so he kills himself. And how does he kill himself? Through Chanukah. And the Gemara now ties it back to, that was David HaMelech's curse to Achitofel. Now it was unfounded, because the curse was only in the situation where if nobody responds, but Achitofel did respond. But that goes back to the point that kilas chacham afilu bichinam, even if it's quote unquote free, it's still there's teeth behind the curse. Amar Rabbi Abba kilas chacham afilu tanai ba minalan me'eli. If you have the curse, even if it's al tanai, even if it's based on a condition, and even if the condition is satisfied, the curse is going to come. And we learn it from Eli. The kamar le Eli lishmol kol yasel lachalokim v'chol yosef im tiv intichachay mimeni davar. Shmuel has a nevuah about Eli, and specifically about Eli's sons. Eli knows that Shmuel is withholding information. Eli says to Shmuel, tell me everything. Tell me the whole nevuah. And if you don't tell me the nevuah, whatever bad is going to come on me should come on you as well. Now Shmuel does reveal the entire nevuah over to Eli. So the curse, we're good with the curse, right? The Gemara says, no, we're not good. Meaning the curse is still going to come. So, not only did Eli lose his children spiritually, Shmuel did as well. But Shmuel told the entire nevuah. So that's exactly the Gemara's point. That kilos chacham afilu tonight, even if it's conditional, still the klal is going to come.
Didn't Eli
show
also did things on their own
endeavor,
like not quite?
Yeah, no. Right. Agreed. But the nevuah is what revealed this to Eli, meaning presumably he didn't know. I'm reviewed on Rav. We're now on the top of Yud Alpha Mid Beis. Nidu al Tanai Tzare Chafara. That if someone is excommunicated, but only on condition, and even if the condition is satisfied, still the cherem is going to come, and you need to, and the ban has to be lifted by somebody. How do I know this? Yehuda dichsev im lo hevi osav elecha. Yehuda says to his father, you'll send Binyamin with me. Reuven tried. Reuven failed in his attempt to convince his father to send Binyamin with him. Yehuda says, you'll send him to me, and if I don't return Binyamin, so then I'll send to you. In other words, he puts a self-imposed cherem upon himself in the event that Binyamin is not returned. Now we know that, of course, Binyamin is returned. For the 40 years that they were in the desert, and Yehuda's body is in the Aron shaking, and it's a clear indication that the cherem that he placed upon himself is still in force, even though it was satisfied, but still it was in force, and his bones were rolling inside. The word cherem, right? I know the Gemara uses the word nidui. You know, I shifted, but the word cherem is in gematria ramach, meaning 248 limbs, meaning that when you have a cherem on yourself, it affects your entire body, and so the bones of Yehuda are now rolling in the aron. Acha aman Moshe bikesh lav rachamim. So Moshe now is asking for rachmanus on Yehuda, trying to release him from the cherem. Amar lefan ribono shel olam migarim leReuven sheyoda Yehuda. So, you know, Reuven sinned. And the Gemara Shabbos says you're not allowed to say that, but meaning, okay, I know, it's a built-in irony. So and Reuven admitted, but Reuven only admitted to his sin only after learning it from Yehuda. Yehuda was the first one who was moda al ha'emes. He admitted. So, v'zos Yehuda, shem Hashem kol Yehuda. So, it's only because Reuven learned from Yehuda. So what Moshe's petitioning HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, look, Reuven did tshuva, and he was moda ala emes, and he learned it from Yehuda. So Moshe's saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like, Yehuda should get a pass. And even though he did impose a cherem upon himself, but in other words, he should be released from the cherem.
I should know this fact already. So just because Moshe brings it to the light.
Right. Tefillah tzaddikim. I hear. I hear you. So Shama Hashem Kol Yehuda Al Ivra L'Shapa. So now the bones went in back into their sockets. So in other words, again, to the best of our understanding. So now Yehuda is, so to say, has some sort of menucha, some sort of rest. Lo Havakama Aile Leile Mesifta Derekia. But still, he was not allowed into the Yeshiva Shomala. The El Imo Tivienu. You see what we're doing? We're quoting. We just keep going on in the pasuk in Vezos Habracha. So he should be allowed into his nation. Lo hava kayad lemishkal mitrach b'shmaita b'hadi rabbanan. Okay, so he's in the yeshiva shamala, but he's not following what's going on. He's not speaking the language. Yadav ravlo. Going back to the pasuk. So Moshe asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give him hands in which to fight with, meaning let him understand what's going on over there. So lo hava yad lefruki kushya. Okay, so now he's in the yeshiva shamala. He's at least engaging. But he couldn't answer questions. Ezer mitzarav tiya. Give him strength so that he knows how to fight off his enemies. In other words, he'll know how to answer the questions in the yeshiva shamala. Ibayilahu. We'll finish off today with the following. The question. B'mitzas kulan hu chozer oduma b'mitzas echad mehen. The Mishnah identified three Kohen Gadols. And we know that the release of the Rasech B'shogig is only going to occur with the death. And the Gemara's question now is, with the death of all three, or is it sufficient with the death of one of them? Now, I'm going to point out what is an obvious difficulty over here, and that is, you really are not going to have all three.
Not two.
Right? One, the first two are historically two different time periods. Meaning the first one is when there was Shemna Mishka, that was before Yoshiyahu, Melech Yoshiyahu, and the second one is after the Shemna Mishka. So the Gemara's question over here is a little bit difficult to understand, admittedly, because we're not going to have all three in the same spot. So, okay, I acknowledge, I know that it's a little bit difficult, but still, the idea is that maybe we could just simply address the question a little bit differently, meaning do I need all the present Kohen Gadols around to die, or if just the death of one of them would be sufficient? So the Gemara says, well, Oduma b'misas echemem, tashma, nikmar dina below Kohen Gadol, eni yotze b'sham le'olam. So the Gemara says, well, based on the upcoming Mishnah. The upcoming Mishnah describes where a person was a Rotzeach B'shogeg and his timing was terrible. So, and he had a Gemar Din, and there was no Kohen Gadol installed at the time. In other words, we were between Kohen Gadols, and it happens to have been that his bad luck is that he had the Gemar Din in the absence of a Kohen Gadol. And so now he's going to be sent to a Nir Miklat. And now after that, there's an appointment of a Kohen Gadol. And so even with the death of this Kohen Gadol, he's not going to have a release. Okay? So some people just have that kind of mazel. Just give me 1 second. V'im Isa lehader kidahanach. So the Gemara says now, if it's the death of any Kohen Gadol, the Gemara is assuming, and we're going to change the assumption, but the Gemara is assuming right now that this wasn't the only Kohen Gadol. There was another Kohen Gadol as well, maybe a stand-in, whatever. In other words, the Gemara now is suggesting, assuming that there was another Kohen Gadol, and what the Gemara now is arguing is that, oh, I see, so it has to be the death of all the Kohen Gadols in order to allow for his release. And because there was one of the Kohen Gadols that was not installed during his Gemar Din, so therefore he's not going to be released. And the Gemara says, okay, but the question is built on assumption, and we could just simply be wrong with the assumption. The Gemara answers with one simple word, bedaleka, meaning no. In other words, it happens to have been that this person had a Gemar Din, and there was no Kohen Gadol installed at the time, not even a standing Kohen Gadol, meaning there just simply wasn't any. And it could very well be that for his release, you need the death of all of them, and it could be that while he was having a Gemar Din, none of them was around. Okay. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah. Everyone have a great day.